you're very welcome to the Alison Spittle Show with me, Alison Spittle. This week's guest is Muireann O'Connell. She is a TV presenter in Ireland on TV3 on the 6 o'clock show, which is this mad show, absolutely mad show. If you're not from Ireland, I went on the 6 o'clock show last week, and Obi Trice, who was a rapper that had a hit song called Got Some Teeth, and he's like affiliated with Eminem and D12. Well, he was supposed to be on, but he couldn't on the day, which was very sad, because the Irish Quidditch team were on, and I was on too, with a comedian called Colin Morrigan, and we had to learn how to play Quidditch, and also Chef Adrian was on, and he made a beer can chicken, which is like a chicken with a beer can up its orifice. And to be honest with you, it looks horrific, raw and cooked, but it's very tasty, very tasty. And I had the best time on it, the best time. Oh my gosh. The mad thing was, at the end of the whole show, I just got giddy because it's live TV and I did something silly. With Chef Adrian's permission, I said, should I pick up this chicken? And he goes, yeah, go on. So I picked up this carcass of the beer can chicken and had it in my hand and went over to the Quidditch lads, and I was supposed to play Quidditch with them and use a thing called a bludger, which is like a dodgeball basically. But instead of a bludger, I used a very hot carcass of a chicken. And then some of the Irish Quidditch team came over and just bit out of the chicken on my hand, like I was a mother lion and their little cubs. And they came over with their little teeth just chewing on the chicken. Anyway, this is a very long introduction, but I need to give you context. Now, this interview was done before that episode of the 6 o'clock show. It was done actually at the Camden pop-up with thanks to Copperberg, who are very nice. They're very kind to sponsor the show and to help me put on that event with James Kavanagh and Muireann, and it was great crack. I tell you what, I'll chat to you properly after the interview. Go have a listen. I think we've good crack. You should listen to it. I get on really well with her, and I just felt when I was interviewing her, we were on the same page. We had a good groove going on. So have a listen here. Round of applause. Thank you. So yeah, Muireann.
She's so demanding because it's her birthday. Round of applause, please. Give it to me at all times.
I can't sit without a round of applause. This is the way it is.
At all times. Must be a nightmare going to the toilet.
Oh, so yeah, it is. I have an app on my phone.
That's it.
And then I'm able to go to the toilet. It's great.
And then a trumpet at the end when you're finished.
Bump, like Ryanair.
Bump,
da-do, da-do.
Your shite has safely landed.
Great. And it's on time. Yeah. Amazing. So I met you, you were presenting the 6 o'clock show.
Yes.
And you were great crack, and I always wanted to have you on my podcast, so thank you so much.
It was at 6 o'clock when lots of people were sitting down watching their dinner, and Alison started talking about taking ketamine.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I was like, well, this is taking a turn. Where is this going to go? She's like, you know, she was sitting beside Jessica Harrington, the horse trainer. And then we were like, oh, I wonder what they'll have in common. And then she goes, yeah, so horse stables. Loads of ketamine there, isn't there? It's great. And I was like, all right, Alison, let's go.
Yeah, but like my experience, I couldn't talk about this in the 6 o'clock show. My experience with ketamine happened where there was a bouncer of a nightclub who, this is years ago now, and he was like, come back to my house, we're going to have a house party. And I was like, okay. And it was just him and ketamine. And I was like, I need to get out.
I need to get out now. And I'm such a culty that when I left the house, like the spire was there, and I was like, thank God, I know where I am. And I just walked towards the spire to safety. But no, that was not fun. Like, when someone goes to you, like, he was trying to convince me to take the ketamine, and he was like, now, if you're going to take ketamine, you're going to have to do it with someone you trust. And I was like, I don't trust you.
No.
I need to leave.
He'd be shouting in your face all day. You're right there, folks, please. You're right there, folks, please.
Actually, what's the most disappointing house party you've ever been to?
The most disappointing house party? There have been, oh God, so many. I'd say, so I worked in a nightclub called Trinity Rooms in Limerick for a few years. And once we went to a house party afterwards and someone had to make a stop on, does anyone know Limerick? No, yeah, you know Limerick? You know the Island Field?
Those two ladies looked at each other.
The Island looked at each other.
Yeah.
We had to do a stop after work, so we'd stay drinking at work. And then one of the lads were like, yeah, we're going back to a house party. And then they went, we just have to make a quick stop. And they brought us to the Island Field because they wanted to get a bunch of coke.
Oh my gosh.
And we're outside and it's bright. It's day. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning. It's the middle of summer, real daylight. And this dodgy guy comes down to the door. They're shouting. They're like throwing stones up at his window. I'm like, what's going on here? Next thing, his mother comes to the other window and is like, you leave my Kevin alone. You swear to God, kids, leave him alone. I was like, where are we? Get me out of here now. I am the daughter of a guard. I'm going down. This is it. It's very odd.
It's beautiful, though. That's like you'd love to see that in Love Hate, where like a mam comes out, she's like, now Nidge.
Now Nidge.
Cop on.
My Nidgey is a lovely boy. It's all the ones he hangs around with. Lovely boy.
No, I just like, I've always been disappointed by house parties where lads are like, not, you know, they're going like, bring me, come to this house party. And they always just want to ride my friend. Like, and I'm always just left there watching like Law and Order, CSI or something. You know, TV3 did help me during those times.
We try so much.
Yeah.
At night time when you're lost in a K-hole. We're yeah. there for you.
We're and there. They have like the kind of infomercials for like shake weights or something.
And
know?
Wonder Mops.
Wonder Mops.
Did anyone ever buy one of those Wonder Mops that you have the infomercials for?
No. Are they good?
I went to college in Galway and we were very, very drunk one night and someone had credit left on their mobile phone and we were like, we're buying one of those mops.
Yeah.
So we had to go around the house to find one person who had a credit card. And one of our posh friends was there and her parents had given her a credit card for when, you know, the emergencies, you know, when you don't have enough cocoa noodles in the house, you need the credit card. And she was like, yeah, lads, let's buy the mop. Let's buy the mop. We shared that we had a timeshare on the mop.
Oh, my
gosh. We would go to different houses over weekends when parents were coming. Oh, yeah. It's a great mop. It was brilliant. It lasted 3 years.
Wow.
Amazing.
Janie, was there anything else you've bought on the internet you've been disappointed by? Or I like disappointing stories.
I've only bought like two things on the internet. Two or three things on the internet, I'd say.
What have you bought?
One was clothes that I sent back, obviously, because, you know, you think you're ordering a flowing, gorgeous jumpsuit and it comes back and it will fit a Barbie. And you're like, oh, that doesn't work for me. And I bought a sideboard.
A sideboard?
I bought my
I thought
very
you said a cyborg for a second. A I was like, wow.
Hey, I've always wanted a Dalek. But no, I went for a sideboard. Whoa. Which I had to explain to people. They were like, what's a sideboard? I was like, it's a sideboard. What do you think it is? Everyone knows what a sideboard is?
I think I do. Is it like a set of drawers that's not for clothes?
There you go. Yay. That's exactly it. You put crap on the top.
And how did that get delivered? Actually, look, this is not the best question now, to be honest with you. I want to ask you, because you present the 6 o'clock show, and one of the things I find interesting about the whole TV3 output is you have there's a fan of TV3, but he's a very specialist fan. And
think so I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, Samantha. This is like once Samantha Mumba was doing presenting.
Yeah.
And I went up to her, and she's my hero. She's incredible. I love her. And I
never once got to meet her, and I worked on the bloody show, and I was like, I only want to meet Samantha Bumba. That's why I'm here.
That's literally why I said, they were like, I think someone had pulled out. They were like, are you available today? And they were like, Samantha Bumba's presenter. I was like, yeah, I'll cancel everything.
My wedding, I will cancel.
Cancel, thank you.
Did you sing Gotta Tell Me into her face?
I did, yeah.
Good.
I did, good. Yeah. And she was very polite. So she's really lovely. But I looked her up, and I wanted to see her on TV3 just to see like how she was getting on before, because I'm proud of her.
Yeah.
And you know, yeah, I think she's great. And the only footage available was this YouTube channel that said Samantha Mumba wearing a leather skirt. And I was like, oh, right, this is a bit specialist. And then I clicked into the channel. And then it's like, Muireann O'Connell wearing leather trousers. Mm-hmm. And then Yvonne Connolly wearing a leather jacket.
Yeah.
This man really likes women TV presenters in leather.
We don't know who he is. We call him Leatherman. We came up with a really good name. And it's kind of, I think Maura Duran gets it as well from RTE. It's not just the TV3 ones. But whenever we're wearing leather, you will... So very few of us wear it these days. We're like, no, we don't need the hassle.
Oh my God.
If you're wearing anything to do with... One day I had leather shoes on. It was like, Muireann O'Connell wearing leather. I've never looked at it. I don't know what it is. But he does all these compilations. But the scariest one that he does, and it's this subsection of the category.
Yeah.
And it's Irish female pregnant TV presenters wearing leather.
No.
It's so dark. It's so scary. And I just feel violated for the women involved.
Oh, my God. I mean, how does...
Look at the bump on her in that leather.
Oh, my God.
My God.
How does he get the time? That's where I'm interested in.
I think we all know that, you know, he lives in his mom's attic.
Yeah.
So...
I don't know. Is there like a WhatsApp group where lads just... Hey, lads, leather.
Apparently there's two of them. Show.
There's two of them.
Yeah, apparently there was another guy and he stopped doing it because this leather man now, his footage got too good. So
really?
Stop competing with him.
There was a rivalry.
There was something going, I don't know.
Like a Blades of Glory, except finding women in leather.
Finding women in leather, and they're just at home in a leather suit themselves and all the time, rubbing themselves.
But sometimes...
I know, it's grim, right? It's really grim.
That's like a grim underbelly to TV presenting. You know, is there anything else like that that you thought when you first got into TV presenting? You're like, I wasn't expecting this.
I definitely wasn't expecting the leather thing in any way, shape, or form. I couldn't have even thought that.
He even goes into pleather, like he knows the difference between actual leather.
Oh, come on, he's an aficionado, Alison. I mean, he knows his different PVCs, everything. He knows it all.
Oh my gosh, I have no leather stuff to wear.
Can you imagine when you were, you know, you rode a pig once? As in when you got on the back of a pig?
Yes.
Imagine you had a leather saddle on that. You too could be in the compilation.
Oh, that is something to aspire to.
I'm telling
that
you.
That is something.
If you don't have that much stuff in life, at least you have that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So how's your mother dealing with your newfound fame on the 6 o'clock show on Today FM?
So my mother does this thing. When I'm on the telly, I have my phone with me here because I've got my parking tag on and I'm going to have to put that on again. But she texts me throughout the show. So she'll start, it starts at 6 o'clock and she'll be like, oh, I like your hair. Oh, not sure about that leather pants and leather skirt suit there. Oh, Dermot Bannon's on. I like Dermot Bannon. Jesus, he's much more handsome than I thought he was. RT don't make him look as handsome as TV3 make him look. This will go on for an hour, just her having a stream of consciousness via WhatsApp, knowing I can't look at my phone. I can't go, sorry, can you stop there for a second, Dermot? My mom just wants to say you're a ride. Is that okay if we stop? So she does this throughout the show. And to be fair to her, she is very proud. Because there's only, like, you know, mams watch the 6 o'clock show.
Yeah.
And she's very proud, and they all like to talk about what I'm wearing. It's her new hobby at mass.
Yeah, my
it is.
I mean, yeah, my mom gets, like, tick of me if I don't text her if I'm going to be on, like, the 6 o'clock show or something like that.
On the telly?
Yeah, yeah, because she wants to watch, but...
Does she want to vet what you're going to say?
Ah, it's too late for that now.
It's too late. It's the ship has sailed.
She was definitely like, the first time I went on the 6 o'clock show, you get the free dinners. Like, there's someone that cooks there. And I got very enthusiastic about that. And, like, I was supposed to be chatting, but I was just eating. And my granddad gave out to me. He was like, you're going on the telly now and you're supposed to put your best foot forward and you're supposed to, like, you know, be a star. He goes, I tell you now, Catherine Lynch wouldn't be eaten, I tell you. She'd be doing jokes. I was like, granddad, you don't understand. He's a Michelin star chef, you know.
This is it.
Yeah.
But we get texts in, because there's a text line for the show, and we get texts in and people going, oh, I don't know if you know, say it's Derry Clark or Adrian Martin or whomever is on. Oh, I don't think they liked his food. Now, no one was eating the food. So, Alison, you're actually doing a service for people who are watching it.
Good.
By eating the food.
Good. It's very good food.
It's the only reason we get guests. It's like, we'll give you some good bloody food.
And I love it because, like, the chefs I go out with, they'll be like, oh, chop up that onion there. And I'll chop it up, like, to a reasonable degree. And they'll be like, oh, have you had training? And I'm like, no, I just cut onions a lot. But it's like my favorite compliment.
Thanks, my chopping onions.
Oh, she works. Have
you Googled yourself to see if there's a subset of of Irish television personalities chopping onions? That could be a thing.
That should be. I'll make it myself now.
That's what we should happen. If anyone's wearing leather tonight, can we film you and send it to him? Can we send it to Leatherman as well?
Yeah. It's. I think people are weird. Are you more weirded out by Leatherman, like than ha 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 ha. How is the feeling in the room? Like, I'd love it if Leatherman was here today. Expose yourself, Leatherman. This whole podcast was just to smoke him out.
To actually find him.
Yeah.
By saying expose yourself, though, I expect to see just him jumping up on his penis being, I'm here, where's the leather?
I feel he's probably done that in the past. Oh, my gosh.
So horrible to think about that. So horrible.
So it must be. I find it very scary to go on live TV all the time because, like, I keep thinking I'm going to swear or that I'll tell the whole world who's having an affair in my village.
Right.
Because I have that power. You know, I could do it. I won't, but I could. You know.
Oh God! Now you've told me that. That's what the next interview is going to be all about. So come here to me.
Who's having an affair? I would watch that show. Like, if there was a show where it's like just women sitting around a table and it's called like Who's Riding Who? Do you know? They'd be like, she's power walking for the ride, that one.
That one?
You know?
But oh my God. She came up from West Clare to get that ride. Absolutely. Yeah.
Very quick in her step today, I tell you.
Gonna be an and then you could judge them as they leave. Oh, walking like John Wayne will give her a 5 out of 10. 5 out of 10.
Because that's I think like the having affairs in rural Ireland is as big as the GAA. I feel.
Oh God.
You know? It's something to do, you know.
There's sort of a new thing I discovered in Dublin because where I live, I came home one night recently and I was parking the car. And my neighbour was staring at me. And I didn't, you know, it's one of these Dublin streets where you don't know everyone. And my neighbour was staring at me. And I was like, what is going on here? Is she pissed off because of where I'm parking? And next thing she came over, I was on the phone. And she just went, hi, do you live in that house there? And I said, no, I live up here. And she went, oh, right, it's just that there's an orgy going on. And I don't know what to do. And I
what to do? How do I join?
You join in. You know, it's an orgy. Everyone's welcome.
So oh my God.
I quickly got off the phone with my friend. I was like, Adele, I'll ring you back. I've got to deal with something here. And she went, just walk past the house. Now, I live in cottages.
Oh my God.
So, you know, in Dublin, when you're on the street, that so essentially the bed where we live in the front room is a foot away from the footpath. That's it. That's all that it is. And sure enough, I walked past. And there was a fella lashing it in from behind to
this
girl, right? And I walked past and I went, right, they're having sex. And then I walked past the other way to make sure that I knew what having sex looked like. Because, you know, in case my mother ever hears this, obviously I've never had sex. And then the one issue I had with it was I was like, well, there's only two of them in there. That's not an orgy. And she was like, this isn't the issue here. And she just went, there was another one. I saw another one. She was there. She was there. Well, so I went looking around and I was like, couldn't see another one anyway. So next thing she's like, I don't know what to do. So she takes out her phone. She's like, I'll have to ring the guards. I was like,
over an orgy.
Over two people, from what I could see, having sex. And I went, you can't ring the guards. So she'd obviously had them on speed dial. And then I was you can't ring the guards. So she put the phone down. And I just said, we'll just go up to the door, knock on the door, and ask them
to pull down
the blinds. So it turns out the house is a new Airbnb.
Okay.
So on the street.
Destroying our cities.
Destroying jizz waterfalls all over the place. And so I knocked on the door.
Good on you. And oh, my gosh.
You know, she was worried about the children. Think of the children. And we live in a very old street. And I knocked on the door, and no one answered. And then I knocked on the door again, no one answered. But I looked in the window, and the blinds were down. So he'd gotten the message.
Oh.
And the next thing, he comes strolling out. And as he comes strolling out, buckling his belt. No top on. He put clothes on. We're like, you know, we've seen you naked. No Adonis, by the way. This was no Michael Fassbender. it was very strange. And as he comes out, the guards ring her back on her phone.
Oh, my God.
She'd hung up, obviously. So he's at the door, and I'm like, hiya, listen. If you're having sex, fair play to you. Have a great night. Thursday night, you're getting ready for a big weekend. Any chance you could leave the blinds down? And he went, yeah. And shut the door in our face with the guards going. She's like, I don't know what to do. So she wouldn't talk to the guards. So I had to take the phone off her. I'm like, hi, I'm really sorry. There was just people having sex with the blinds opening. And the guard just went, ah, it's one of those, is it? I was like, do you get a lot of this? And they're like, you'd be surprised. I was like, what is this subculture? So I said it on the radio. I said it on Today FM the next day. The amount of texts we got in on Craigslist. And then we did a deep dive. You can go on. And it's a thing in Dublin 6. I think Dublin 8, Dublin 15, and Dublin 9, orgy parties.
No.
Organized in Airbnbs. Anyone thinking about putting their house on Airbnb? Anyone? I've got a story for you. Don't.
Thank you very much to Copperberg for sponsoring the show. This is an advert in the middle of the podcast. That's going to be my new jingle from now on whenever I have a sponsor of the podcast. Copperberg, they are a cider company, and they make nice flavored ciders. Actually, I got two bottles here in my house. I got elderflower and lime, and raspberry. Can you hear that? All right. So thank you very much, Copperberg, and we'll get back to the interview right now.
So apparently there's lights. It happens all around the world. So like an orange light will mean S&M. A purple light will mean orgies.
Nice.
A blue light will mean threesomes. This is the thing.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Did happening next door to you.
Right now.
Right. With Leatherman.
Yeah. Local orgies are waiting to take your call. Right now. Oh my gosh. There's a whole underbed. There's in the country, like, you get a lot of, like, in the country, you, like, there's a website I used to look at where
I'm sorry, is anyone really worried about this now?
Well, there's places where there's a place near my village where doggers go. Yeah.
What?
There's a whole list, like a little bullet point list. There's one in Tyrrell's Pass as well, near the old Protestant church. They always happen near the old Protestant
I
church.
I was just going to say.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of a West Brit thing, isn't it? No?
Yeah, yeah.
Culturally, maybe that's what the priest, oh, those West Brits and their dogging.
And their orgies.
And their orgies.
Yeah, and there's like, me and my friend went to like a dogging place just to have a look, you know, which I suppose is what they all do, isn't it? We were totally like innocent and we saw a car come down and we ran away and we're like, no, we can't be near this now.
So you never saw any actual dogging?
Never saw anything, just a nervous looking man driving and us running away.
And you running away.
From an Opel Corsa going, woo! Perverts!
Do we think she should give this more time? Like maybe go to the place near the Protestant church and just hang out a little bit longer?
Well, lads, it's getting late now, so we could do it after if you want. We'll go on a trip.
Does anyone know the places in Dublin for dogging?
Clontarf.
No, is it?
Yeah. Clontarf on the... What's that island?
Bull Island.
Bull Island, yeah. There's a fair bit of dogging that goes down there.
Are there a lot of Protestants in Clontarf as
well? There is, isn't there?
Is there? Is there?
I love that, like, that's the only stereotype you have from Protestants.
Very sorry they to all Protestants.
They don't believe in transubstantiation, but they do believe in free love. Like, it's like where the Diet of Worms happened, and he's like, your man is reforming the church.
Luther's
like,
nailing it to the church wall. Yeah.
Everyone should ride everyone.
when automobiles come along, it's going to change this world.
Yeah, it was used to be horse and carriage.
Horse and carriage, yeah, one of the same. Yeah.
No, I'm sorry, we went down a weird line there.
I'm sorry about that. It's really weird. Anyone else have their own dogging stories?
Actually, does anyone have a dogging story?
I feel orgy story? Threesome?
Threesome?
No, sorry, guys.
I had a friend that had a threesome once, and
there's always a friend that has a threesome, isn't there?
I know, come here now. I'm lucky enough to get one, to be honest with you. Do you know what I mean? And I'm pure jealous. I couldn't deal with a threesome at all.
Oh, God, no.
I'd go in and make tea and, like, do you know?
The logistics would be like Pythagoras' theorem, are you
yeah,
mad?
Yeah, I'd get out a tin of USA assorted biscuits for the guests. Do you know? Do
you a 3 litre of country spring, you'd be yeah, grand.
Have a party ring there. Go on, go for it. Do you know? Because I don't want to shame anybody either, but Jesus, I can't be at that now. Do you know?
No shaming. We're very accepting here. We're just not... I couldn't do the maths.
No. And it's totally... When I was a young one, like, it was a big thing to, like, go on a date with a lad with a car. But when I was young, I didn't understand, like, the ways of the car. Like, I went to a cinema once with a guy.
Yeah.
And we watched Jumper, which is a terrible film. And
that is a terrible movie. Yeah. Hayden Christensen and yes, Rachel Bilson.
It is such a bad film.
But it's where they got together. So I'll always love it for that.
Are they still together?
No, they split up last year. Sorry.
That's a shame.
Destroy people's lives there.
No, it's good. But I was in the car and he drove me. He was supposed to drive me home, but he pulled into a lake. He's like, look at the swans. Aren't the swans gorgeous? And I was like, oh, right. I just want to go home.
Lovely. And
He expected a handy. It was like a toll. Do you know what I mean? To get home.
Had he paid for the cinema?
He did tell me he paid for the cinema.
Cinema, handy.
Yeah, and it was like I went on Comedy Central are doing this new TV series where they're like funny sex stories, and like I went on.
It's Alison Spittle, the star of a Comedy Central show.
No, it's just a guest. But it was really awkward because like I was like, I don't really have any like sex stories really, but I told him about the lake thing, but then I got ashamed of it, and I was like, because I did give him the hand job to go home, because I just wanted to go home.
Did you get your popcorn as well?
I did. He got me popcorn, in fairness,
right,
now.
Okay. Okay.
But I remember, like, when I went on Comedy Central, I was like, oh, I didn't give him the hand job. I just waited until he put it away. I put on the radio. And I thought that was, like, a triumph kind of thing. But then, like, because I just didn't want to tell. I'm telling you now.
Yeah, I know what I was about to say. Fact checking.
Yeah. But it was like...
Have you needed to get that out?
Oh, no, I've told everybody. Everyone. But the mad thing is like, it's supposed to be, like, sex positive and everything like that. But I was too afraid to tell that. I gave it an unhappy ending when it was a happy ending for him. Do you know what I mean?
For you, not so much.
Not so much. But I got home grand.
You did get your home fine.
And I didn't text him back then after. I was like, nah, I don't feel like getting a lift now.
Did he have
that.
Tissue in the car?
Did he? Do you actually want to know what happened?
Will we get the whole proper story? Come on, Alison.
I opened up the car door and just used the dock leaf. Just...
Nettles and jizz. Oh, who knew?
Yeah.
What?
And the swan was looking at me as if I've done something bad.
The swan is like, you've tainted this place. The children of Lear will never come back.
It was that actual lake, Loch Derivara.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
You didn't.
Oh, my God. They should put a plaque there.
I'm sorry. The folklore world, everyone in Trinity, all the old folklorists are now going, what has she done?
I wouldn't mind. Like, it was only a Toyota Starlet. I don't know what. Do you know what I mean?
Was that his mom's?
Probably feckin' was.
It probably was.
Probably was.
Do you still know him?
No, not at all. Jesus, no. I actually don't even remember his name.
Oh.
It's been like, yeah.
But do you think he's going around, kind of going, he sees Alison on the telly, and he's just like, she gave me a handjob at Loch Derivara Lake.
And then he gets lifted up on his friend's shoulders going, yeah.
I'm going to diminish everything she's done in her life because she gave me a handjob.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right, actually.
No, have you had any experience of Mullingar now yourself?
Well, this one time in a starlet. No.
He did it to you too?
Doc Leafs will never be the same.
He was wearing a lot of leather now that I do.
You're the one who started him off. You created Leatherman.
Leatherman. Yeah, wouldn't that be the shittest ever, like, Marvel superhero origin story? It's like, it started with a hand job. The worst hot chocolate song ever. Where do you go from there?
Only the crumbliest. sorry, that was my
you
mind.
You were doing the Flake theme tune. I love it.
Yeah, I was. Anyway, what? Mullingar, is that what you said?
Yeah,
Mullingar.
Yeah.
I once went to Mullingar overnight with my older brother. He's got mates there. And he's done this... Okay, so it was after Slane. And it was Slane where the Verve were the headline act and your man was off his face. And Robbie Williams was one of the support acts and he kind of came into his own that year. And
did he?
Yeah, it was
oh,
really
good
cool.
For him.
I fell asleep in the field when David Gray was on, God bless him. But we were 15 and we'd drunk all the way up in the bus. We were hammered by the time we got there. And then my brother said, hey, the lads are here. Will we go to Mullingar? And I said, yeah, grand. So we got out his Motorola flip phone and text our mother and said, hey, listen, Maureen's coming to Mullingar with me tonight rather than going back on the bus. We'll be home tomorrow. We went home like 3 or 4 days later.
Oh, my God.
Oh, sweet mother of divine Jesus. My friends were sitting across the road from my house in the field waiting for me to come home because I was like, yeah, I'll be home today. And my mother came out to the house and... The wooden spoon was the size of our semi-D in Limerick. Like, I have never had such a verbal whipping in my life.
Oh, my God.
My friends could hear it. Like, they were down in Gary Owen Rugby Club drinking and stuff, obviously. We had very good teenage lives. Sorry about this. But,
yeah, I know. When they go a bit like, and you're like, oh, shit, wait, this is not happening to everybody.
What's going on? And they could hear my mother shouting at me, like, half a kilometre away. She
nice.
Went mental. So that's Mullingar's fault. I blame Mullingar and the good parties for that.
That's my first time drinking was at an M&M concert in Punchestown. And I got really drunk. I was about, it was Peach Snaps or the Bacardi Breezers as well.
Oh, holy God.
Oh, syrup. Beautiful
holy
stuff.
Holy God.
But I went up to a guard and I was like, hi. And he's like, hello. And I was about 14 or 15. He's like, I'm lost. And he goes, all right, get in here. So he put me in the back of a paddy wagon, right? But he put me in a nice part. Do you know where it has, like, the proper seats? And there was, like, a really violently drunk man in a cage at the back.
And they go, okay, yeah.
Yeah, there was...
It's like Con Air, you know, yeah. When the nice people and yeah. Then the yeah. Guy who wants to eat everyone is in the cage.
I was yeah. In business class of this cop
there
car.
We go. And Ryanair is missing, Michael O'Leary is missing a trick here.
Totally.
Put half the people in cages.
Oh, me and the guard were getting on great and we were just going, what's, your man was shouting, we were like, what's wrong with you, do you know? And it was great crack. And he brought me to the Garda station and we ended up chatting about, I asked him, was prison like Bad Girls? The TV series.
Oh, my God,
yeah. But he thought I was on about the film with Demi Moore. Do you know, I was like, there's no cowboys. What are you on about? There's a film called Bad Girls, apparently.
Is there? I thought it was Showgirls.
No, there's a Showgirls one as well. But the lovely thing was there was fireworks at the end of the... I missed all of M&M, basically. And the guard goes to me, come out now, the fireworks will be starting. So I watched the fireworks, and then my mum had to collect me from a Garda station in Kildare. Yeah, but I had a really wholesome
time. Has she driven from home?
She drove from Westmead, yeah, to
oh,
get
fair
me.
Play-ter.
And like she thought, like, cause, you know, it's like, pick up your drunk child, please. But I was having the most wholesome time ever. Do you know? I was just chatting away to
USA
some girls.
Biscuits?
Yeah, I got biscuits, tea, a pre-packed sandwich as well. Chicken and stuffing,
this
I remember.
This is a fancy Garda station, oh, can I just say.
They were lovely.
Shane Ross has taken it all the way in the cutbacks. No more pre-packaged sandwiches.
I know, yeah, only homemade now.
That's
so yeah,
it, yeah,
I was sitting there for ages and then maybe about, you know, maybe about half an hour before my mum came, I was like, Jesus, my mum's collecting me from a Garda station. Am I in trouble here? And then I was going to the guards, am I under arrest? And they were like, what have I done? I'm like a political prisoner. Tell me my crime. But I was just very drunk.
It hadn't dawned on you. You were like, oh, this is like the twins at St. Clair's.
No, I was that drunk that I was just like, oh, sure, I'll go into the van with this guard here.
This
I was
is
just,
lovely.
You know, yeah, have a sandwich.
Were all your mates back at M&M?
Yeah, they were. My cousin was there. Yeah, the adult that was supervising me got in a lot of trouble.
I can imagine, yes. Actually, there was an adult supervising.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you call it supervising, wouldn't you? But, you know.
I'd like an over 18 person or like someone who was in their 30s.
And it was someone in their 20s and like they were bringing all the teenagers there and the teenagers were like 16, 17.
Oh, no.
And I was just on the, like... It was like, Jesus, she'll feel left out now if she doesn't have just one Bacardi Breeze or give it to her there, you know.
Terrible.
So yeah, it was grand.
How many Bacardi Breezers did it take you to get in the back of the paddy
wagon? I genuinely think it was two. Yeah, like I wasn't drunk, you know.
Wasn't but even a fat frog, lads. Just a straight up Bacardi Breezer.
Do you remember when Buckfast were like the big thing amongst teenagers, and they would talk about like how disgusting it is as a drink?
Yeah.
And they would go like, have the toenails. There's toenails in this. And they're just bits at the end of the drink. Do you remember that?
The little bits, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird about teenagers that they're like, take this, it's bad. Do you know, like, as if, like, if you do something that you don't like, you're cool, do you know?
There's dock leaves with jizz inside in the Buckfast.
Oh, Jesus.
Definitely have to drink it now.
Yeah, the monks put that in, so they do. It's like...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That could be the secret ingredient. Could be the secret... Sorry, I'm really
It's sorry. Botanical. It's botanical.
It is. I knew someone who drank Buckfast as... like a nice wine.
No.
So
with ice?
He put it on the radiator to really warm it up. And then I'd take it down and he'd drink it out of a glass and he'd be sipping away and it was like, oh, this is a great vintage sort of shite.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, it was really
Are you still
gross.
In contact with that person?
I am not in Good. Contact with that person. He left a glass behind my bed in college and I found it about 5 days later. And there was a whole new world growing on it. Like
a whole new world.
Absolutely. I was like, oh my God, I've created life. Amazing. Not in my room.
Cool.
So yeah, weird Buckfast.
I should ask you another question though. Wait there until I consult the book. Oh wait.
The book.
Have you ever been in touch with the occult in any way?
No, but yes.
Oh
no, it's really bad. It was for a radio show and they dragged me down I think it was Kennedy Castle or something like that. And they were like, she's really, I'm that person that if you scare, I'll jump. I'll have lost my life. I'll scream the whole place down. So they were like, oh, she'll be really jumpy. This will be amazing. And we'll really scare her and all this kind of stuff. And all these people were feeling this stuff. And there was like a Ouija board and a medium and spoons. I don't know what the spoons were for. but no, I didn't feel anything.
Okay. You weren't scared in any way?
No, I had to fake it for the radio.
Oh, you're a good professional.
I know. I had to scream for them. Scream for us. Scream for us. That was it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I had to do that. I was like, okay, this is what I have to do to make my wages this week. Great.
I did a filming job in Charleville. And there's the toilets are in the basement. And it's supposed to be the most haunted castle in Europe.
All right. Yeah.
Apparently. And I didn't believe in it. But when I had my trousers down, I was sat there. And I was like, a ghost could come in right now. And you'd be undignified, Alison.
You'd
know?
Be terrible. Did you think the ghost was going to come up the loo or just come into the room?
Come under the door.
Oh, come under the door. Right, okay.
Like, do you know the way some people do that if there's a really drunk person in a cubicle in a nightclub? They're like, she's stuck. we must dive in. You know? And you get the smallest person to go in and unlock. Do you know?
So you just think there's tiny ghosts around trying to be, are you all right there, love?
Oh,
can we help you out? You look gorgeous. Let's have a look in the mirror for a while.
I was out last night and I was at the Roma 2 Chipper and this lad was singing it's an amazing place.
When you hear Roma 2 Chipper, you know it's been a good night.
Oh, such a good night. Potato cakes €1. And if you're really polite to them, they'll put in a scoop of chips as well. That's a meal for €1, lads. Do you know? There's a life hack for you.
Is that something secret? Is that like the Alison Spittle special because they're like, she's a celebrity and now you've given it away. Everyone's going to be expecting.
No, I think it's like she's not abusing me at 2 o'clock in the morning. Good for her.
That's, you know, fairly nice. Yeah, that's good.
Because like, I feel like such an angel if I'm drunk in somewhere and everyone else is bald and I'm like, I'm nice. Look at them. They're being rude to you, but you're just working and sure, look, isn't life shit? Do you
it
know?
All started in the paddy wagon. You were being nice to the guard.
That's it. But this lad was singing like David Gray and he's roaring at the top of his lungs and then he fell asleep and your man had his food ready for him. So a lady went over and just gave him a poke, you know, to wake him up. Well, the man got so angry. Don't you dare touch me. How dare you? And then he was like,
I'm calling the guards. I'm going to sue you.
No, he was standing over like he was going to like hit her, you know. And the woman.
Because she gave him a little poke.
A little poke.
Jesus.
And she was like, fine, so fuck off of your chips. Like, you. If I was only trying to help you. Yeah. And the other.
Did he take his food?
Oh, he took his food and he left.
And he left.
And he was
right.
Grand. Like, okay. It all worked out quite happy, actually, in the end.
Yeah.
But, like, I just felt like to go from singing David Gray to being violently angry within 2 seconds and asleep in between is
it's a lot to fit in five minutes.
Into 5 minutes. The man's
good.
Emotional roller coaster, so he was. but I was in Kilkenny there last week at the Catlass Festival. And there was this girl in front of me. And I'd say she's about 15 because she's wearing a lot of makeup. And, do you know, everyone looks the same age nowadays because everyone does the contour and then they're all good yeah. looking. But, like, I know older women just wear less makeup. So if you wear loads of makeup, I'm like, you're about 12 to me. You know, that's the way I work it out.
The logic holds true.
Thank you. So there was this young one in front of me and this owl lad passed by and I could see his hand went under her skirt and pinched her on the arse. And she flinched and she didn't say it. And I could see she wasn't going to say it to anybody. So I had a few gins in me. And I was like, sir, you've just touched that child, sir. And he was like, kept walking as if I wasn't talking to him. And I was like, then I was shouting in Kilkenny, like, and a crowd of people around going, the man in the gilet has just pinched that girl's arse. How dare you? You should be ashamed. And he gave me the fingers and walked off. But I felt good because...
Did people stare at him?
Oh, they did, yeah. Yeah,
good.
Yeah, of course.
But did the young girl feel like... You know, she'd been a bit protected.
I think so. She did the whole, thanks.
Type
thing, you know, that type of thing. But like, when I was young, like, if people used to do that to me, I'm like, oh, I'm the mad one. I feel uncomfortable, but like, nobody else is reacting. Therefore, it must be a normal everyday.
If someone did that?
Yeah.
Absolutely. You wouldn't say boo to a goose when you're younger.
Like, as she's 15 now, like, that she'll just go, fuck off to the next person.
Absolutely.
Or I was cycling yesterday. This talks about all these, like, arguments I've had with people. But these young lads were on a balcony and they were like, hey, Susan Boyle. And I was like, I was the only one on the bike. And he's like, Susan Boyle on the bike. And I put my brakes on and I go, why'd you have to be so mean? Yeah. And then two men came across the road and go, yeah, fuck off back into your house, you scumbag. and I was like, no, I didn't want to bring it to this level, but thank you. Do you know what I mean? And they went back into their balcony. So
well, you want
good.
A little... nice vigilante crowd around you sometimes, don't you? Where it's like, no, fuck you.
I like to talk out more about it because I'm so sick before. Like, I used to just always take it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now nothing really bad happens if you talk back. And, yeah. I mean, like, I don't know. I've told this story on a podcast before, but when I was 15, this lad, like, burst my face open with a punch and I woke up on the floor. And it was just a night out in Moat. So it was just
right. We know what to expect in Moat, is it?
Par for the course.
Come to Moat, get slapped.
And I woke up on the floor and this old man was standing over me and he goes, I saw what happened and he's hidden behind the Protestant church because your man ran away because he's like, shit, this escalated quickly.
Why the Protestant church again? What is going on?
It's where like I was gonna say scoundrels hide behind.
Scoundrels. No one will think of me here.
Yeah, but like when it happened, like your man, there's no hospital in Moat, so he brought me to the Supermax, which was still open. And the amount of free food I got in the supermarket, everyone was lovely. They were like taco chips, everything.
Someone get her a garlic cheese chip.
Stat.
Put that up your face, love. You'll be fine. We'll You'll get through fine. This.
No, they gave me like a J cloth of ice in it. And like men were coming up to me going, who would hit a girl? Who would do it? And I told them the full name of the lad. And I was like, he's hidden behind the Protestant church. And I saw like 8 men get into a micra, go up and down moat looking for this fella. Yeah. And then like I was pushing my luck. And I was like, do you know what? Now my face is really hurting. I'd love like the hot, cold flavour of a muffin and ice cream now, to be honest with you. So I got a muffin and ice cream as well. I was delighted with myself. Delighted. So
Pat McDonough from Supermax will send you an invoice when he hears this. We don't give out free food.
Oh, well, I think other people have paid for it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
I think
they did it for you.
Yeah,
that's
but
nice.
The staff were lovely. They gave me ice for my face and everything like that.
Did you know that fella?
Yeah, I did. I did. It was a, like, what happened was we were having like an argument and I said, I wanted to stop the row and I didn't know how to stop. And I was like, are we just going to keep rowing now or are you just going to punch me in the face? And that was a bet that I'd lost very badly.
Wow.
I rolled the dice there and it didn't come up trumps
you lost.
Me. Yeah. And there's this mad thing that I might cut out with the, I'll tell you. So I
whenever they say we might cut this out, it always makes it in. We
I
know that.
So I did an Instagram story about it and I named him because I just forgot. You know, I just like I named him and I said, this is what happened. I was taking pictures of Moat and I was doing like an unofficial tour of Moat and all the hotspots that I like. And I was like, this is a crossroads where that happened.
Yeah.
And I got a message of someone like that was close to him after. And she goes, dear Alison, I don't know who the fuck you think you are, but he would never hide behind a Protestant church. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, okay.
This is the bad thing in this story.
Yeah.
It's the Protestant church.
He's no coward.
His mammy would never like that. Wow.
Yeah.
So he knows that you remember this moment in
your
life.
Oh, yeah, he does. I used to do loads of jokes. When I first started doing comedy, the first 2 years were just jokes about him. I
can see why.
I was like, revenge.
Let's you know? Do it.
But then he did hear about it. And he's like, I hear you're doing jokes about me. And I was like, okay, and I stopped doing it.
But then do you wrap this all up by kind of inviting him on stage one night and you getting to hit him a dig?
Oh no!
Not that violence is good. I'm not like you know, eye for an eye and all.
Like this is
not
your
good.
Life. Like he's here right now.
Not right now, Alison. Would you take the opportunity if we could bring him out, him and Leatherman for me? Would you smack him in the face?
Well, I feel that Leatherman would like that. So
good
I don't
point.
Know.
Playing
know what
directly
I mean?
Into his hands. Sorry.
It's the long game. Yeah. He's been doing.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I kind of like, I'm grand of him now. It's a funny, like, to me, do you know when, like, mad shit happens to you and you kind of compartmentalize it?
Yeah.
And, like, life is good now and everything like that. And you look back, I don't know about you, but sometimes I look back at horrific shit and I'm just like, that was a laugh.
That was great.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Oh, Jesus, they're so, like, the whole dock leaf thing. Do you know what I mean? Do you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know if I met that man?
Oh, that time you trapped me in a room. Yeah, that's so funny.
The starlet or whatever. I do remember putting on the radio. Anyway, fuck it.
Go on. The radio and the starlet.
Yeah, and the Death Notices were on, and I was just like, this is
the most beautiful soundtrack
to
this moment.
This
where
is our
my
song.
Soul is
this is our song.
And now, every time you hear it on local radio, and now the Death Notices.
Have you ever done the Death Notices?
Never. And
oh.
I used to work in local radio, Live 95 in Limerick. And, to do the Death Notices, man.
I'll be amazing.
I used to take, people would ring in with the Death Notices, and I'd have to transcribe them. So
Whoa.
That's one thing that I did, yeah, when I worked on reception. And they'd be ringing in and... They're very particular, and it's a money maker for people. Like, it's huge money. But they'd be so particular about certain things, about the cousin. Now, listen, if Anita rings up, you do not put her name on this debt. She is not paying for this. And you're like, what did Anita do? I was so interested. It would happen all the time. Now, listen, if that side of the family rings up, they don't get in the death notice. That doesn't happen. Oh, no, they're just looking for her money.
Oh, my gosh.
Hardcore, man. There's serious hardcore stuff around death notices.
That's what I love about, local radio. It's kind of like it's a big reflection of the politics of
absolutely
rural life.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what jobs did you have to do on local radio?
I used to work in, you know, those street teams in local radio where they have a car and it's got the radio station branded on the side and you drive around in those yokes.
Yeah.
So I did that with Jackie Hurley now, who works in RT. And we used to give out milk. That
milk.
Was it. Dawn milk. We had banana, we had strawberry, and we had plain milk. And the people of Limerick, we'd do it outside Penny's on O'Connell Street in Limerick, and they'd know it's like, it's Tuesday. The radio girls will be here in a while. So there'd be no milk bought in the city for like 3 days. Because it'd be like, they'd be like, can I have 8 litres of milk? You'd be like, yeah, grand.
Please.
Take 8 litres of milk. Yeah, we did all that sort of stuff. And then I used to have to do traffic. So this was before Twitter, essentially.
How did you find out about the traffic?
So the worst thing was that you'd have to drive around and then do a call into the DJ and be like, so it's really busy on the Dock Road. And da, da, da. But you would have been on the Dock Road 10 minutes ago. And it's like, I don't know if it's busy there anymore. And then what this DJ would do is that he'd record it and put it out like half an hour later. I'd be like, the traffic isn't going to be the fucking same. So during, was it the World Cup or the Euros in 2006? So it was the World Cup, right? In 2006?
Yeah.
World Cup. Anyway, so I used to go to my mate's house and he lived in his mom's house and he had a big driveway. I used to park the van behind and we'd sit down out the back. He'd bring a TV out the back. We'd sit down, we'd watch the football and I'd do the traffic report from out the back, sitting down, having a cup of tea.
Oh my gosh.
Because I was like, you're not going to play it for an hour, so it's grand.
Well, that's like, when I...
I'm sorry, I feel like I've lied to all the people of Limerick now. It's terrible.
No.
I feel so bad. I only did it like 3 days in a row.
When
big
I worked
matches.
In iRadio, was it a camel or a lemur? I think it was a camel. A camel got loose on the Kinnegad Road and was causing terrible traffic disruption. And we're like a youth station, so we're like, that traffic, you know. We were like, let's name the camel. So as a radio station, we got people to text in, and
I remember this.
Yeah.
Yes. And it was a big deal.
And our radio station named what would you think would be an appropriate name for a camel? Like, I don't know.
Toe.
Oh, very good. Camel toe. Very good. No, our one we called them Eamon.
Eamon.
Eamon the camel.
Eamon the camel.
Causing terrible traffic disruption.
It's all terrible. Yeah, blame Eamon.
Eamon.
But that was like a big story. And wasn't it like all day it took over the radio?
I think so, yeah. Oh, we dragged it out now, to be honest with you.
You did. But it made websites around the country. I remember reading about it going, oh, those iRadio fuckers and their camel, aren't they great?
We're great.
With Eamon the camel.
This is us now. This is our time.
It's been lovely.
It flew.
I was very scared and very nervous. So that was nice.
You shouldn't have been. You were such a great chatter. Like, that's why I wanted you on.
It's terrible.
You know?
But it's like, oh, God.
And you really dragged out the personal stuff out of me anyway.
We all know we'll never look at a doc leave in the same way ever again. Like getting stung by a nettle, I really don't want to be. That's not... Or, you know, if you've got a niece or a nephew and you're like, grab a dock leaf. Oh, no, please don't grab that dock leaf. Please don't.
Yeah, wash it. Wash it.
Wash the dock leaf first. Yeah.
Thank you so much, guys. Have a great night. Thank you.
Thank you once again to Copperberg for sponsoring the show. They're very kind. They've got some lovely summer flavours like raspberry and elderflower and lime, along with old favourites such as mixed berry. So thank you very much to them for sponsoring the podcast. They're good lads and lassies. Murren, you can listen to Murren O'Connell's radio show on Today FM every day at around lunchtime. I really like her patter. She's very good. And also the 6 o'clock show, which It's so much fun to go on. I always go, when I'm asked to go on it, I'll always go. Because I'll always have a good time and I'll get free food. It's very fun. Yeah, and I tell you what, I'll tell you a few gigs that I've got coming up. If you're listening to this on the day this comes out, which is a Wednesday, tomorrow I'm in Smock Alley with Hannah Mamlis and we're doing a preview of our Edinburgh shows. Do you remember I was telling you that I was going to keep a diary about my Edinburgh shows? I'll do that after the credits and I'll talk to you properly about that. Also, the Vodafone Comedy Festival is happening from the 28th of July to the 31st of July. It's going to be a big ball of crack. I am so excited with all the Americans that are coming over and with all the Irish people that are doing some slots and the English. The English too, and am I missing out on any nationality? Yeah, I probably am, and I'll correct that next time. So thank you very much to Sarah Garvey, my production angel, who makes this podcast, basically. Thank you very much to Alan Bennett from Head Stuff, who helps get sponsors and does loads of stuff to help me and the show, and he's very good. Thank you very much to William Conway, who did the artwork for this podcast. William is working for Jam Media, and they have a new TV show called Becca's Bunch, which is out on Nickelodeon, I think Nick Jr. And he did all the background art on it, and it was written by Amy Stevenson and Shane Langan, who are fantastic writers, and the theme tune is written by Jape, who is a great musician. So if you've got kids or know anybody that has kids, why don't you recommend Becca's Bunch to them? Bobby Ahern is the guy who wrote, well, he basically changed one of his great songs from No Monster Club and just said the word Allison, 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 which I'll be forever thankful to him for doing. But Bobby Ahern is involved in a cool new project that I'm not allowed to talk about just now, but I'm totally going to talk about loads as soon as we're allowed to, because it just sounds incredible. I cannot wait for it to come out. Right, diary time. Yes, I have been bad once again with my preparation for Edinburgh. I have this large, I'd say it's an A1 sized easel to hold up notes and stuff, and I promised myself that I would do stuff like that, but every time I go to sit down to think about what my show is actually about, I just self-sabotage by, well, what did I do today instead of, because I went on a protest. I literally, somebody on Twitter said there's a march happening. It's for a good cause, but I definitely went because I knew I had the afternoon free and I was afraid I wasn't going to do anything. And at least if I went marching for something, well then, you know, I'm not procrastinating, I'm helping other people. But it's bullshit and I'm very disappointed with myself. And then I got myself a coconut latte because I was like, I need caffeine because I'm going to go home now and I'm going to work very hard on my show. And what did I do? I literally looked at YouTube videos about Love Island, about what happens on Love Island and the background on Love Island. By the way, I do a Love Island podcast with Erin McGregor and Cassie Stokes from Expose. Like TV3 literally, this is weird. They were like, oh, come on and talk about Love Island on this new podcast we're making. And I was like, okay, because I really like Love Island. And I get to do a podcast about Love Island with two people that I get on with. And it's really fun to do. Erin is totally different to me. We have very different tastes when it comes to anything, really, in regards to Love Island. And yeah, she's right about a lot of stuff, though. Oh, I wish. Anyway, but yeah, I'll talk to you more about preparation for the Edinburgh show. So look, after I put my phone down, I am going to take out that A1 easel and write down stuff. I hate doing callbacks. Not that you have to do callbacks for Edinburgh, but Jesus, I've seen Edinburgh shows and the audiences do like a callback.
I just want to do jokes for an hour and just chat about what I want to chat about. I always feel like putting an effort into hour-long shows. It's like, you're lying to people. But I'm not lying to people, and I should just put more effort into it. It's more of a fear of working. I'll do it. Although, oh yeah, I was cycling the other day and I did have a thought. And I was like, this is the key to the show. And then I said, don't think about it too much, Alison. Put it at the back of your mind. Let it percolate a little bit. But now I've forgotten that whole thought. I know it was important. That's about it. I'm going to work now. I'm going to work hard now. Have I told you about all the gigs I'm doing? I have. To the lady that said, good luck living in London. And I was like, how did you know that? She was just on the street at Pride. I was like, how did you know that? And she said, I listened to your podcast. And I was like, that's amazing. Yeah, lads, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. You make mad dreams come true. By the way, I'm interviewing two people next week. And they'll probably be on in the next couple of weeks on this show. I'm so excited because it was a total chance how I found them. Do you know what? I'll tell you about it when the actual episode comes out. But all I'm saying is I'm glad I went out to get milk. Because if I didn't get milk, I wouldn't have bumped into these people. Anyway, yeah. You've been so sweet, and I'll chat to you soon. The previews in Glasgow went well. I had a great time in the stand. I talked to you about that last time, didn't I? I haven't done any previews since then. I'm doing the previews this week in Ireland. I just got to work on one aspect of this. I'm also writing more jokes, and I'm like, do I keep that for the next show or do I put it in this show? I should just sort out my shit. Thank you so much for listening, because me saying it out loud is making me realise you need to stop talking about it and do it. I'm not emotional, I just needed to burp. But I didn't, because I'm a lady. Okay, goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.